In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again, we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. And today we pray to make this time of Lent fruitful, which is truly a time of prayer, of fasting, of almsgiving, those three aspects that the Church has traditionally indicated as areas for our spiritual struggle in this time of Lent. And why does the Church give us Lent? To prepare for that great feast of Easter, and with it Good Friday beforehand, by which, Lord, you died on the cross, rose from the dead for our redemption. We go back to Adam and Eve in the garden. They were told they should not eat of the fruit of but one tree. They ate of that fruit, and they were separated from you by that sin. The devil tempted them, and the devil always wants to divide. And he divided Adam and Eve from you, and then Adam from Eve, and Cain from Abel, always dividing. But you promised to the serpent that from his offspring would come one that would lie in wait for the heel of the offspring of the woman, and the offspring of the woman would crush the head of the offspring of Satan. And many centuries passed, and finally, you, God, became man for us in order to redeem us. And you brought about the fulfillment of your whole reason for being on earth by your death and resurrection. You redeemed us. You restored us to that divine friendship. You opened up the gates of heaven. And of course, the Church prepares for this great feast of our redemption, the feast of your resurrection, by days of penance. The Church has always done this. The two great feasts of the year, first Easter and then Christmas, are preceded by whole seasons of penance, Lent and Advent. And other feasts are preceded by days or periods of penance. It's only right. In order to celebrate those great feasts, we want to be renewed. We want to be purified. We want to be in some way worthy to celebrate. And so we have these 40 days of Lent. Why 40? Because you, before you began your public ministry, spent 40 days in the desert. St. Matthew tells us, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward he was hungry." And the devil comes with those three temptations. And Lord, you show us that through your penance, your fasting, you withstood those temptations, and you invite us to do the same. We are tempted too, much more than you were. And if we are truly penitential, if we are truly fasting, living penance, we too will have more strength to stand up to those temptations. And not only did you fast, but you prayed. 40 days of prayer in union with your Father God. We need that too. And you say that to us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Our prayer, our fasting strengthen us so that we do not fall so easily, at least, into temptation. And we follow you on the way to Easter, but that way passes over Calvary. It passes over the way of suffering. And you are the only way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life, you said. No one comes to the Father except through me, and your way is this. We should always be living prayer and fasting and almsgiving or works of charity, but now in Lent we intensify so that we can follow you along that way and come to our own resurrection. For one day you will call us into the next life, and we want to be prepared. And when we live Lent well, when we live our life well, when we are living self-denial and prayer and almsgiving or charity, Easter is every day. We're happy every day. We're not happy when we are living self-indulgence and self-centeredness and softness. When we are giving of ourselves, we find that joy. We don't have to wait until Easter. Lord, help us to live this time of Lent, but this time of life in your company, doing your will, living that self-denial and that prayerfulness and those works of charity. You emptied yourself to take the nature of a slave to become man. You lived amongst us for 33 years, and then you were lifted up into heaven. And we follow that same way, that self-emptying, that kenosis, to use the Greek word. It's from that word that we get the word cenotaph, kenotaph, empty tomb. You emptied yourself of the Godhead, becoming man, a man like us, in all things but sin. You lived amongst us. You suffered at our hands. We put you to death by our sins. But you raise us up too on Easter. And this way must be ours, that self-emptying, that spiritual renewal, which Lent can be if we live it well. We need to live it well. We all become too comfortable, too self-indulgent, too self-centered, not prayerful enough. Lent is that annual opportunity for spiritual renewal, for spiritual cleansing. If we live it well, we come to Easter much closer to you, much more that person that we want to be. Help us to live this time very well. Pope St. Leo the Great in the 5th century speaks about this spirit of Lent. He says, "The special feature of Easter is that it is the occasion when the whole church rejoices over the forgiveness of sin. This forgiveness takes place not only in the case of those who are freshly reborn through baptism, but also in the case of us others, who for some time have been counted among God's adopted children. Certainly it is true that the water of rebirth initially brings about our new life of grace. But for us all, it remains necessary to struggle every day against the rust of our earthly nature. Whatever steps forward we make, there is not one of us who is not always bound to do better. All of us must strive hard, and so on Easter Day, no one should remain bound by the vices of his former nature." And this is for all of us. We have that rust of our earthly nature. And this time of Lent is the time to get rid of that rust, to renew spiritually, so that we are not bound by the vices of our former nature. And St. Leo goes on, "And so, dearly beloved, what every Christian should always be doing must now be performed more earnestly and more devoutly. These 40 days instituted by the apostles should be given over to fasting which means not simply a reduction in our food, but the elimination of our evil habits. And he says that these 40 days have been instituted by the very apostles, and that that fasting is not just a reduction in food, but the elimination of our evil habits. And perhaps we can think, what bad habits do I have? Lent is the time when I can struggle to overcome them. And Pope Leo goes on, to these sensible and holy fasts we should link almsgiving, which under the one name of mercy covers a multitude of praiseworthy deeds of charity. Thus all the faithful, even though unequal to one another in their worldly possessions, should be equal in the drive of their spiritual lives, adding to fasting and, of course, prayer, that alms giving. These three aspects have always been the focus of Lent: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. On Ash Wednesday in the Gospel of the Mass, we read your words in the Sermon on the Mount, in which you said, "When you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward." And then we go on to read about prayer. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward." And finally, fasting. "And when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward." Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, which you united in your Sermon on the Mount, which the Church has taken up and always indicates as our ways of spiritual renewal, especially now in Lent. And we can look on those three areas as it were, a three-course meal. And when we live Lent, we should live at least one item from each course, to find something we can do that is special now for Lent in the area of prayer, in the area of fasting or self-denial, and in the area of almsgiving or charity. And we begin with prayer. And the whole goal of our prayer life is union with you. Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation Evangelii Gaudium, invites the whole Church to come to a closer relationship with you. He says, "I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ, or at least an openness to letting him encounter them. I ask all of you to do this unfailingly each day. No one should think that this invitation is not meant for him or her, since no one is excluded from the joy brought by the Lord. The Lord does not disappoint those who take this risk. Whenever we take a step towards Jesus, we come to realize that he is already there, waiting for us with open arms. Now is the time to say to Jesus, 'Lord, I have let myself be deceived. In a thousand ways I have shunned your love. Yet here I am once more to renew my covenant with you. I need you. Save me once again, Lord. Take me once more into your redeeming embrace.'" And how aptly those words apply to all of us. We can all say, "Lord, I have let myself be deceived. In a thousand ways I have shunned your love. I have become too absorbed in the world, too absorbed with my daily affairs, and not remembering you enough. Help me now in Lent to have that encounter with you when I empty myself of my concerns and I am filled with you and you take me into your redeeming embrace. And the Pope goes on, how good it feels to come back to him whenever we are lost. Let me say this once more. God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking his mercy. Words that the Pope had used before, and now he puts them into this apostolic exhortation. And let us read them once again because they are so appropriate. God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking his mercy. And we do that every day in our examination of conscience and act of contrition. We do it when we go to confession. Christ, who has told us to forgive one another 70 times 7, has given us his example. He has forgiven us 70 times 7. Time and again, he bears us on his shoulders. No one can strip us of the dignity bestowed upon us by this boundless and unfailing love. With a tenderness which never disappoints, but is always capable of restoring our joy, he makes it possible for us to lift up our heads and to start anew. And this is what Lent is all about, starting anew, whether we have been very distant from God or whether we have been close, but we can become closer. We can come to that renewed encounter and starting anew in our spiritual life. Let us not flee from the resurrection of Jesus. Let us never give up, come what will. May nothing inspire more than his life, which impels us onwards. And we come to the resurrection, not only of you, but of ourselves, a spiritual renewal. And so in that first area of prayer, a more deep and personal encounter with Christ, which we will find if we pray more and we pray better. We can look at our plan of daily prayers. Are we faithful to that plan? If not, we could tighten up in some area, that we do that scripture reading every day, that we do our spiritual reading, get to Mass more often, as so many do during Lent. They go every day. Say the rosary. Do our mental prayer. Be more faithful. And then perhaps it's not so much the quantity of prayer, because we have been faithful, but the quality. We can attend Mass better, receive you in Holy Communion better. We can say the rosary with more attention and do our mental prayer better. A good thing to do in Lent, too, is to meditate on your passion. And perhaps in our mental prayer, we choose one of the four gospel accounts of the Passion, and we make our way through it slowly during Lent. It is very revealing when we pray slowly with those accounts. We see so much, how much you love us, and how much we should love you too. Perhaps we can do the Stations of the Cross at least once a week. Go to sacramental confession more often and take others to that sacrament. We'll come to that when we consider almsgiving or charity. Lord, show us in which way each one of us can live our prayer life more fruitfully during this time of Lent to come to that deeper and more intimate encounter with you, that relationship of friendship with you, who lift us up, who bring us to Easter every day. And then that second area of Lent, which is fasting, or self-denial in general. We all tend to seek too much comfort, to be lazy, to find the pleasures of life and unwillingness to live the self-denial. In Lent, we reverse that. We take up our cross daily and follow you, as you invited us to do if we wanted to be your disciples. And we do want to be your disciples. And in this world where there is so much self-indulgence, where so many people do not know the meaning of restraint, of penance of self-denial, we must live it. And so by our very example, we can help others to live it. What can we do in this aspect of that spiritual meal, that menu of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving? Perhaps we can eat a little bit less if we tend to eat too much. Perhaps we can go without eating between meals, as we do on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, and as the whole church did for many, many decades before the present time. We were all invited to live that fast of one full meal, two smaller meals, and nothing between meals. Many people did that, and many people continued to do it. It may be a very good way for us to live that restraint in our eating. And then when we go to eat, we can choose something that we like less in the area of breakfast cereals, of jam or marmalade that we might put on bread or toast. And perhaps we could go without butter or margarine on our toast too. In our choice of fruit, there are some we like more, some we like less. In Lent especially, we can choose the one we like less. Many children are edifying in how they live Lent. They give up sweets, and many families do that. During Lent, they have fruit or something else after the evening meal. Children give up chocolates, ice cream, soft drinks, McDonald's, the supreme sacrifice for children. What do we adults do? We can't let our children do more than we are doing. Many adults give up alcohol during Lent. We can give up putting seasoning on our food. We don't need to put salt on everything that needs it. We can go without. We will still get the same nourishment from the food, but without that taste. We don't need to put sugar in our coffee or tea, on our breakfast cereal, or wherever we might use it. We don't need to put salad dressing on the salad. Many ways of going without that taste of food while still getting the nourishment from the food. Many people go without listening to the radio in the car, or perhaps at home while they work. Some families give up television altogether in Lent. We can live self-denial in our work, starting those difficult jobs that we've been putting off, staying at them until they are finished, putting things away, or simply getting out of bed on time in the morning. When that alarm goes off, we're out of bed straight away. Many ways of living self-denial. But as Pope Leo says, the first thing we should give up is our evil habits. And so we look at what bad habits, what sins we tend to fall into and struggle especially there. But this whole area of fasting and self-denial will help us greatly in overcoming those habits of sin. And then we go to the third area, almsgiving, which is mercy or charity. Pope Francis, in his message for Lent 2014, invites us to live that kindness, that generosity with the poor. As Lord, you became poor for our sake, so that we might become rich through your poverty. That concern for others, that we be less focused on ourselves and more concerned for others, especially in our families. Perhaps we can be more patient with our children or our spouse. We can be more generous to give of ourselves. We don't need to wait to be asked to do something. We offer to help. And when we are asked, we do it straight away. All these are aspects of almsgiving within the family. The effort to be more kind, to smile, to be more cheerful. The effort to spend more time with one another, with our spouse, of course, in the first place, with our children, or children with one another. And then all those areas where we try to help those around us to come closer to God. And especially in this time of Lent, this very fruitful season of Lent, to try to bring someone back to the faith. Someone who hasn't practiced, who hasn't gone to Mass for some time, whether it be a few years or many. Who hasn't gone to confession for a short time or a long time. To pray for them, to live our penances for them, and to speak with them, to invite them. It's time, come back. And many will come back during this season of grace that Lent is. They will come back, many on their own, but if we help them, more will come back. More will experience that joy of Easter, that this Easter, for the first time, they are back in Mass, they are back in the state of grace, they are back in the friendship of God. What joy they have, and what joy we have in being God's instrument in helping them to come back. And then always that concern for others in our lives that maybe we don't see every day. And just that phone call, I was thinking of you, how are you? I heard you were sick. Did your husband get a job? Did your daughter get into that course that she wanted to get into? Simply that kindness of a phone call. Or even a text message on our mobile phones saying that we're praying for them, thinking of them in a particular moment of difficulty for them. Lord, what a fruitful time Lent can be. It's up to us. We can let Lent go by these 40 days, and we will be no better at the end. Or we can say, yes, this Lent, I'm going to live it well. I'm going to live those areas of greater prayerfulness, of greater fasting and self-denial, of greater concern for those around me, and come to Easter really renewed and have that resurrection of my own spiritual life. Let us read words from a sermon of St. Peter Chrysologus, who sums up these three aspects and shows how they are so united with one another. He says, there are three things, brethren, three, through which faith stands firm, devotion abides, and virtue endures: prayer, fasting, and mercy. What prayer knocks for upon a door, fasting successfully begs, and mercy receives. Prayer, fasting, and mercy. These three are a unit. They give life to one another, for fasting is the soul of prayer, and mercy is the life of fasting. Let no one cut these three apart. They are inseparable. If a man has only one of them, or if he does not have them all simultaneously, he has nothing. Therefore, he who prays should also fast, and he who fasts should also be merciful. He who wants to be heard when he petitions should hear another who petitions him. He who does not close his own ear to a suppliant opens God's ear to himself. The fasting man should realize what fasting is. If anyone wants God to perceive that he is hungry, he should himself take notice of the hungry. If he hopes for mercy, he should show mercy himself. If he desires fatherly kindness, he should display it first. He who wishes someone to make an offering to him should make an offering himself. He is an unworthy petitioner who demands for himself what he refuses to another. Offer your soul to God. Offer the oblation of fasting. Do this to make your soul a pure victim, a holy sacrifice, a living victim, which remains yours while it is given to God. The man who fails to offer this gift to God will have no excuse, for he who will give himself is unable to suffer want. But to make those gifts acceptable, follow them up with mercy. Fasting does not germinate unless watered by mercy. When mercy dries up, fasting suffers drought, for mercy is to fasting what rain is to the earth. the man who is fasting may prepare his heart, cleanse his flesh, weed out his vices, and sow virtues. Nevertheless, if he does not sprinkle his plants with streams of mercy, he does not gather his harvest. O you who fast, what you pour out in mercy comes back as storage in your barn. Beautiful words of that great preacher of the early church, St. Peter Chrysologus. And so, yes, we should choose something from each course of this meal, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, because they go together. When we live all of them, we have that spiritual renewal. We have that spiritual growth. And we finish our prayer going to Our Lady. Mary, you teach us how to pray. You pondered these things in your heart. You teach us self-denial in Bethlehem, in the flight into Egypt, at Calvary. What suffering you underwent. What self-denial. And you teach us almsgiving or charity. You visit your cousin Elizabeth and spend 3 months helping her when you are expecting not only a child, but the very Son of God. You have that concern for the wedding couple at Cana, and you are there at Calvary accompanying Jesus, accompanying the other holy women and Saint John. Help us to live this beautiful time, this fruitful time of Lent well, that we can come to our own Easter, our own resurrection, truly renewed. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.